Romans chapter 14, if you would. Romans chapter number 14. I really need to read this entire chapter. So I won't have to repeat it in the message, okay? So I'm going to read rather quickly to follow along with you. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or faileth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I told you this morning, I want to deal with the subject of, do we really need standards? I would like to draw your attention as we close this text to some very poignant statements made by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. By way of clarification, we are not talking about anything in this text that is obviously wrong. We're talking about areas, gray areas, areas where there's no clear, concrete, biblical evidence as to what is right. And it's saying, happy is the person that doesn't condemn himself with that for that which he alloweth. In other words, someone who is willing to allow something that he may not do because he doesn't want to condemn someone that does. But verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. You see that? So you're doing something that you're not sure of whether or not you should do it. So you do it in speculation. And Paul says, you are damned, you are punished for that, because it is not of faith, and if it's not of faith, it is of sin. I like to challenge you in this area. in the context of standards. Be careful about doing things that you're not sure are absolutely right. What I mean by that, be careful about being married to things in the Christian life that you demand to have to be able to do when there is no solid level of faith given by God to ensure you that what you're doing will bring glory to Him and not hurt somebody else. Father, would you give us your help and your direction? We need your word to speak to us. We are needy people, so help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I've preached a lot of churches. Been to a lot of churches. And I am uniquely familiar with a lot of churches. One of the most controversial areas in churches today is the issue of standards. In a little bit, I'm going to define the word, because one of the reasons for the great controversy in this area is an ignorance of what the terms actually mean. So tonight, in just a moment, I'm going to define what those terms mean. But I'm going to take a few moments tonight and preach to Crossroads Baptist Church. If you're a member of this church, would you raise your hand? Okay, so primarily I'm addressing you. All of you that are here that are not members of this church, you are more than welcome to embrace everything I say. But primarily I'm speaking to our church. Here is why I'm preaching this message. Number one, because we do have standards. That's the number one reason why I'm preaching. Here's number two reason, and it's probably pretty close to being number one. We are going to keep having standards. So that's why I'm preaching this message. I don't want to do something here at the church just because I said we're doing it. I want to make it very clear to you that we don't have standards because the pastor enjoys wielding his opinions on the members. We don't have standards because I am embodied in my authority, and when I can control what you do, I feel more superior. The idea of standards in the church came from the Bible. So I'm going to take some time to establish tonight, do we need standards? Does Crossroads Baptist Church need standards? In other words, is it okay for us to decide for everybody to do what he wants to do? Let's go directly to the body of the message. I want you to write down this word, first of all, point number one. Our beliefs. Write that down. Our beliefs. By way of proof text, could I give you this statement from the scripture? Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, by way of interchanging, use the word conviction as the same word as belief. Let me define it. A conviction is something I am absolutely convinced of and not willing to change. Say it again. A conviction is something, the word conviction comes from the word convince. Okay? So I am convinced of this. We use the word my convictions. Oftentimes, the word conviction is used when describing preferences, pet peeves, things that I like to do, or rules that I've set, by way of the purest sense of the word conviction is equivalent to belief. What do I believe? Write these three things down. Our beliefs must be scriptural. Listen to me. We do not base our convictions on our opinion, on philosophy, on politics. We base our conviction on the Word of God. How many of you know that there are things that we used to be convinced about, non-spiritual things, that today we're not convinced of them anymore? The reason why is because the basis or the foundation on which we base those things we were convinced about changed. The world is a changing place. There are things economically, things politically, things intellectually, things educationally, things emotionally, and all kinds of other ways that change in our society. The reason why conviction must be based on the Word of God is because the Word of God does not change. So when I base what I believe on the Word of God, I never have to wake up one day and go, oh, I need to make an adjustment to that, because the Word of God is timeless. Amen. It is immutable. It is eternal. It will never, ever change. Watch me now. If anything was ever wrong and if anything was ever right in the Bible, it still is. Okay. So, conviction. That is scripture. Now write this down underneath the word scripture. In that, we get a precept that is a command. Clear command. Thou shalt not. For thou shalt. Or we get a principle where the Bible does not clearly state I can't do something or I must do something. But there is a biblical principle that overlyingly will show me obviously that certain things don't need to be done. For instance, the scripture never says thou shalt not smoke. But the Bible does say that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. So therefore, even though the scripture doesn't say, I shall not smoke, the principle in the Word of God is there that says, if God lives inside of me, and my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the body is the instrument that God has enabled me to use to serve Him, it is wrong for me to tear my body down if it is the vehicle of service to God. And I'd give you 50 of those if we had time. Precept, thou shalt not. I'll give you some of them. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Be ye angry and sin not. Amen. Lie not one to another. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. So these are precepts from the Word of God. These are how I base my convictions. So my conviction must be scriptural. My conviction must be settled. Amen. I can't wake up next week and go, oh, I don't have a conviction anymore. Not if I'm based on the Bible. Because the Bible did not change. A conviction has to be a clear, established, biblical truth. Okay? It must be scriptural. It must be settled. Write this down. It must be stimulating. Amen. It must be stimulating. Can I have you write down a fact that I'd like you to engage your mind in? Belief is only that which moves us to action. Say it again. Belief is only that which moves us to action. Anything else is masquerading belief. In other words, to say I believe something and to be unaffected by it, it is not real belief. James makes it very clear, faith without works is dead. You say, I'll show you my faith with my works. I'm simply saying, you show me your faith by your works. You say, you show me your faith without your works. James says, no, 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 no. Faith without works is dead. Now watch now. If you say you believe something from the Word of God, the true, immutable Word of God will always affect your life. Yeah. Why is it that people that once believed something don't believe it anymore? They never truly believe it. You writing down, right? Our beliefs. Write down number two. Our boundaries. Use the word boundaries interchangeably with this term standard. A belief is what I'm convinced about from the Word of God. Now, watch me. Eyes here. A boundary is what is set in my life to help me maintain that belief. Say that again. A belief is that which I'm convinced about from the Word of God. A boundary or a standard is what is set in my life to make sure I live according to that belief. Here is a fact of life. You will not maintain your beliefs without boundaries. Now, let me give you something about boundaries. I'll give you some practical truth. Write the outline down. When we have boundaries set in our life, number one, we need to be considerate. Considerate of what? Of our purpose, number one. Of our propensity, number two. That is where we are bent towards, by way of propensity. Of our problems, number three. That is our weaknesses that we don't like to admit. And then of our place, our position. Okay? We need to be considerate of our purpose, our propensity, our problems, our place or position. Secondly, we need to be complicit. That is agreeable. Write these things down underneath complicit. Imposed versus invited. I'll define them in just a moment. We need to be considerate. We need to be complicit. Thirdly, we need to be consistent. That means not up and down and wishy-washy with our boundaries. And then fourthly, we need to be committed. That means we need to be selfless and serious when it comes to our boundaries. Now, let's look at considerate. Now, this is what I'm saying. You go to the Word of God and tell me what you believe is right and what's wrong. Now, I hate to bust your bubble. There's no ground for debate on these issues. Now, we can debate about boundaries, but we can't debate about beliefs. Because we don't establish beliefs. We put our faith in the beliefs that have already been established by God. I'm not preaching a storm on you tonight, but I am preaching the truth. Okay, so the Christian is not to invent beliefs. The Christian is to agree with God on what He says. For the word preached unto us, the word preached unto them did not profit them that it did us, because it was not mixed with faith. So the difference between the Christian that grows and the Christian that goes nowhere is that they have the same Bible. One agrees with God and one agrees with himself. Okay, so my beliefs have to merge and gel with God's word. So there's no ground for debate when it comes to belief. But here's where standards come in place. Standards are what are set in my life to make sure I obey those beliefs. Now let's give a practical example of that. To everybody, just the one everybody goes to. Here's the belief. Women should dress modestly. Now, if you agree with that, say amen. Most Christian people don't disagree with it. Don't. Women, according to the Word of God, in modest, in like manner, adorn themselves in modest apparel. And that's in the Bible. Now, the word modest means appropriate, well-arranged, well-ordered, aligned properly. At Crossroads Baptist Church, we believe that women should dress modestly. Now, in order to encourage modest dress amongst our women that are leaders, we have standards. Now, you say, Pastor, I don't agree with the standards. Church members, I don't agree with 55 miles an hour. But it helps keep us safe on the highway. By the way, so you're telling me if I violate a standard, I'm not spiritual. That makes no more sense than telling you that driving 65 makes you reckless. You're not a bad driver because you drive over 55. No, you're just bucking the system. You're not a bad driver because you drive over 65. But you'd be in a bad world if everybody drove over 65. So the standard has been set. What's the standard? What's the conviction here? That safety is what should happen out on the highway. What's the standard? We set a speed limit. Because if we didn't have a speed limit, listen to me. You know how many accidents we have with a speed limit? Imagine no speed limit. I'd like these police officers in here to give me some sort of confidence that if we got away with the speed limit, that this world would be a safe place to drive. No way. Now, tell me, do you really think that if there were no standards on how we dress, that we wouldn't have a lot of problems with money? You say, how you know, Pastor? Because we have them now. And we have standards. Amen. Since everybody's on there about it. If I am a woman in pants, am I immoral? No, Mr. Children. Matter of fact, you can be a woman in pants and be more modest than a woman in a skirt. I've seen a whole lot of immodest skirts. And be honest with you, some of them would have been better off in pants. Yeah, I said that on the webcast. And by the way, just because one pair of clothing got you to be improved from the last pair of clothing doesn't mean that both of them weren't good for you. But that was free. But what I am saying, what I am saying for you, at some point you have to set a standard. And standards are never because every instance is wrong. But what it is it's a guideline that'll help me maintain the belief that I do know is right or wrong. Are you following me? Okay, so when I said be considerate, you have to consider your purpose. My life has been given to me by God to bring glory to Him. So when I'm considering standards in my life, here's my first question has to be, not do I like it, does it help me bring God glory? And two, I have to consider my propensity. That means naturally I'm always headed the wrong direction. I want to say it again. Naturally, I'm always headed the wrong direction. And the only way to keep a person who's naturally always headed the wrong direction is to set boundaries in his life that will keep him from going outside of where God wants him to be, even though he's leaning that way. Amen. You ever tried? I was in Colorado preaching several years ago, 10, 11 years ago. And I was driving up the mountain every day in a 15-passenger van. It was high elevation in Marble, Colorado. You say, where's Marble? It's a place you don't want to be in a 15-passenger van. Okay? And this is where I was. Make no bones about it. I can't stand heights. I was driving up there. I stayed at the bottom of the mountain because that's where my bed and breakfast was. It was absolutely immaculate. The food was great. The problem was I had to drive up to where the retreat was every day in this 15-passenger van. I went around sides of the mountain, no rails. I'm serious. And when I hit brakes, the van would naturally kind of skid a little bit. Now, regardless of how safe of a driver I think I am, or how good the brakes are on that van, do you know I was bumping up against the side of the mountain? You say, what about that church van? What about my life? Now, you know what would have kept me a whole lot more comfortable? Rails. Because if my human fallacies cause me to make a mistake while I'm driving, at least there's something there to catch me. That's a standard. That's a standard. Okay, so we don't have rules around here for how women dress because we want to run their lives. No, when you lean the way you naturally lean, we want something there to catch you. I'm preaching now. I'm telling you, But pastor, I wouldn't put them there. That's okay. When you pastor, you can decide what you'll put there. But I've got to stand before God. And I've got to stand before God as to how fleshly people manage to live spiritual lives in a wicked world. And when the world is wielding its standards on us, why in the world should the church be forced to back off? I was in the store the other day, and it disgusted me that not only are they selling immodest clothes, but they are shaping and displaying the mannequins to look like that. It's designed, folks. It's calculated. You understand what I'm saying? And we're naturally bent that way. You say, pastor, are you telling me that you are bent to go the wrong direction? Absolutely. 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 By the way, the standards set for leaders in this church are lower than the standards I set for myself. Lower. Lower. What we require of you is, to me, is not enough for me to require of myself. And there's a whole lot of stuff I've never done. Guess what? I'm not interested in doing it before I die. Well, you came from Lou Baldwin and Jeanette Baldwin. No, I came from Adam and Eve by way of Lou and Jeanette. All right. So what I'm simply saying is, despite who I think I am, I have to have things in my life that keep me from going a direction I will end up in without even trying. So I understand my propensity, my purpose. The third thing I gave you was understand your, something before that. Your problem. Okay. Where are you weak? Where are you weak? Tell me the areas of your life where you struggle with things you know are wrong. Listen, are you listening to me? I'm saying to all you fellas that struggle with the wrong websites, what are your standards? I'm saying to any lady who struggles with knowing what's appropriate, what standards do you have to set? Accountabilities. I'm talking about people who struggle with their language. What standards are they? With your temper, what standards are you? I'm talking about wandering eyes of lust. What standards have you? You say, pastor, my life before I was a Christian was very much involved in the wrong kind of music. I'm asking you, what standards have you now set for yourself? Do you realize that there are certain places, certain malls that I go to, I only enter at a certain entrance? Why? Because I know that the other entrance is close to Victoria's Secret. Is it wrong for me to walk in the mall next to the entrance of Victoria's Secret? No, but it's stupid. If I know that's the entrance there. It's really dumb. Why is it dumb? You know, because I love my wife. I love my wife. But if you love her, you won't look. I have no intention of looking. But if I love her, I won't look for an opportunity to look either. Huh? Amen. And I never have. And I don't intend to. And because I've set standards, she's not worried while I'm out of town at whether or not I am. Right, honey? All right. You have to remember your place. Now what do you say about this? How much standards know my place? You have to remember that just because you are your own person doesn't mean that someone else doesn't have to give an account for you. Okay, that means just because you are your own person doesn't mean that someone else doesn't have to give an account for you. That means for a child, you're in here tonight. Mom or dad, this is not what I feel you should make me do. Here's the problem. Mom and dad have to give an account for what they let you do. If you're a wife, honey, this is not what I feel we should do. But your husband has to give an account for the home. If you're a church member, this is not the way I'd lead the church. according to Hebrews, I watch for your soul. And the way you respond to my watching determines what kind of account I give to God about you, with joy or with grief. So when I pillow my head, it's not just about my own dress and my own attitudes, but it's about the direction I lead this church. And if I know we're a church full of sinners that are prone to wonder, let me tell you what I'm trying to do. Set high standards. High standards. We're never going to all agree on standards. But let's agree on this. We all have them. So what do you mean? We don't have. If we didn't have standards about dress, we'd all be naked in here tonight. Okay, so we all have standards. Some are higher than others. So you're not against the concept of standards. You're just against the way sometimes they're carried out. Guess what? Join the club. How many of you have a rule on your job that you think is silly? Raise your hand. How many of you know that your opinion of the silliness of that rule is not going to change? Raise your hand. How many of you know that you are not the only person on the job that they're concerned about? How many of you know that there may be some viable information that shows that something happened that made them put that rule together that you don't know about? How many of you have quit your job? Now ask a question. Why did you quit your ministry? Tell me when you've ever had a job where you agree with everything. You ain't going to find one. I mean, the folks work here don't agree with everything. And we're a church. But guess what? They'll be here tomorrow. If they want to get paid. And guess what? If you want to get paid at the judgment seat, you'll keep serving. And you will not let a hymn or an item or a guideline or a restriction keep you from serving God unless the guideline is forcing you to sin. Listen. There's a whole list. You will never be a good Christian if you only do what's right and only not do what's wrong. Let me say that again. You will never be a good Christian if you restrict your actions to only doing what's right and only not doing what's wrong. Nobody has ever been a good Christian by only being sure on the right and the wrong. By the way, you won't be a good athlete if you only do what's right. That means if you come when practice starts and when practice ends, and if you do everything the coach says, you won't be a good athlete. Good athletes go beyond the call of duty. They stay after practice is over. They come before practice starts. Listen to me. That's why I have down, you have to have the complicit attitude. And I have written down there, imposed or invited. Here's the issue. Imposed standards means somebody's making you. Right? Let me tell you what imposed standards does. It makes me mad. What's it? You're robbing me of my freedom. Now let me tell you what invited standards do. For keeping safe. Wait a minute. Even if I didn't come up with them? Invite them. Why? They're going to help my wandering flesh stay out of trouble. But what if they're higher than what I would set for myself? Better than being lower. This is where my Christianity as a young man took its leaps and bounds. When I began to invite standards that always seemed imposed. You know, there's stuff we couldn't do as kids that I thought was silly. I mean, real silly. We couldn't watch any kind of show. Nothing. Except a game show or news and some sports game. I thought that was silly. At least a Cosby show. Mike and Dee sneaked and watched it one time. I told on them. They violated the standard. Carnal siblings. But anyway, we have guests in here that want to know who my carnal siblings are. The music director, that's my brother there. He's one of my carnal siblings. Did he? And there's my carnal sister over there. There she is. I just wanted you to get a better face with the carnality that you joined us. I thought it was silly. 10 years later, I was in a hotel room all by myself with HBO and Cinemax and the opportunity to purchase movies that nobody would know about. I had a man tell me this week, I don't know one guy my age who has not struggled with pornography. And I'm not bragging. I promise you I'm not bragging. I have never, ever looked at pornography. Are you bragging, Pastor? No, I'm not. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not tempted by it. I never am sitting at a computer by myself, which I rarely am. Say, why? Because you're accountable? No, because I hate computers. But anyway, I'm rarely at a computer by myself. But when I am, I'm never tempted to go to a bad site. I've never been tempted to drink alcohol. It doesn't appeal to me. Those that drink it are enough to show me why I don't want it. But I'm not tempted by that. I'm not tempted to go to a club. I've never been to one. I'm not tempted. Do you have your temptations, Pastor? Mm-hmm. What are they? None of your business. But anyway, those are ones I'm not tempted about. Say why? Because I invited standards in a long time ago. You mean tell me that the reason why you're not tempted by standards because you're a preacher's kid? No. I give you a list of 20 of them. They're not only tempted by it, they're addicts. Preacher's kid. I've counseled them. And I give you 20 more who the kids aren't and their daddies aren't. And the daddies are the preacher. What happened? No standard. No standard. Isolated time on the internet. I don't understand why when we talk about standards, everybody starts talking about the way women dress. That's not the only area we have standards. It's just the visible spot that we can all see. There's a whole lot of other. Well, Pastor, you preach what's right in this church, and I agree with you. But what about this standard stuff? Figure it out. You read the Bible and figure it out. Go figure it out. Start with the ones we have. And then go find about 29 of them. But consider the ones we have as a jump start to catapult you into the business of setting them for yourself. Why? Because you're not going to keep your convictions without them. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to tell you. I've heard people say, I don't agree with that standard, but I am still modest. This way. You say, what does this mean? They didn't set out to do that. They didn't say, I'm going to dress as provocatively as I possibly could. It just happened. Because I know it's in me and my flesh dwells no good thing. By the way, you men, y'all too. Amen. We have standards set for our men. Amen. Why? Because we're here to serve the King.
Well, you're saying if I don't keep the standard, I'm a bad man?
No. No. I just think that you are objecting to things that could make you a better man. That's all. Who in the world would want to go to a church where they're challenging men to be the best they can be? Amen. Do you realize that there's a whole lot of stuff that we as pastors don't do that aren't wrong? My wife is on me a lot because she says, I'm always dressing up. She says, just put on a pair of jeans. Relax. Anything wrong with jeans, guys? Nothing at all. But I don't wear them. Hardly ever. Why? You just run up to the hospital. Not because I want to set a standard when I go in the hospital to visit somebody that a pastor looks like a pastor. It's not, I'm not against jeans. I have 12 pairs of them. Probably have to give them away. I wear them on vacation. About one day, huh, honey? Did I wear jeans on vacation? One day. You pulled out iron on me. That was the day I ran into somebody in, where did we go on vacation? Well, that was last. That was when we went to Williamsburg or Hershey. Brother Baldwin, I know you. I'm not lying. Walmart, Kmart, it's Kmart. We were in Williamsburg. I said, I knew I shouldn't have worn them. I don't wear jeans, men's prayer, I don't wear jeans, church activity. Why? Not at all, Jim. Because I want our men in this church to see their pastor set a high standard. Well, pastor, we won't look at you any worse. No. But there's something self-conscious about leadership that's casual that makes everybody else want to be more casual. Is anybody following? You picking up what I'm dropping? Yeah, that was funny. He said, they're stepping right in it, Daddy. Amen. Hey, listen. I'm trying to give you a heart of why, because I think oftentimes standards are so misperceived. It's like you're just trying to rob me. Nobody's trying to rob you. We're trying to keep you from robbing God. Are you listening? And we're never all going to agree. But wait till you have children. And see if you can get them to agree on every standard you set for them. And see how sensible of a parent you are when you adjust them just because your kids wouldn't do that if they were the parent. You know, Kobe told me the other thing. Dad, I can drive. I said, no, you can't, son. Yes, I can. Papa, talking about this, Bethany's dad, Papa, let me drive. Now, what he's saying is Papa sat him on his lap, and they were riding him down in Atlanta somewhere, and Kobe sat behind him and turned still. I said, Kobe, there's a whole lot more to driving. I said, you got to push the accelerator, and you got to steer, and you got to know how to get over, and you got to use your blinker, and there are a lot of buttons on the whole thing, a lot of complications. I can do all that. So you know what I did? I gave him my keys and started the car, sent him outside, put him in the car, and told him what to do, told him to drive down the road, 7-Eleven. Are you out of your mind? If I did that, you turned me into social services. Because he told me he could drive, and I let him drive just because he said so. Pastor, you'd be crazy. No more crazy than changing the standards because you don't agree with me. No crazy. I think that's a little harsh. I think standing before God and him telling me I led my church in a carnal way is more harsh than you being disagreeing with my son. I go to bed with this stuff. Commit. Selfish. You've heard me say I don't read a magazine unless my wife reads it first. I don't watch commercials. Is there anything wrong with commercials? No. You know something, you're right. So why you cut out commercials? Last chance for the devil to get at me. Sure, well, you watch shows, yeah, but I know the show I'm watching. Unfortunately, DirecTV doesn't send me a list of every commercial they're going to send. They come out the blue. How many of you know you can be watching a very helpful documentary full of illicit commercials? So I cut them out. Why? Because the devil found a way to get to me already. Why give them extra access? I'm not telling you to go home and cut out your commercials. What I am saying, if you've made a commitment by conviction that you'll set no wicked thing before your eyes, go figure it out. Come up with some standards. I want to ask every single one of you, when you've ever failed in an area, tell me, if you would have failed if you had set higher standards. You know, it's kind of hard for a woman to accuse me of harassment or abuse or any type of inappropriate behavior with her if I restrict myself from being alone with her. Amen. It's hard for her to say, you know, behind closed doors, if the door is not closed. Now, that's a standard. I know. You thought standards only meant the way you dress. No, standards in everything. Can you imagine playing basketball with no rules? Football, no rules. Everybody pick up the ball, throw the ball, drop it, run. Basketball, you want to dunk the ball, pick it up, run. Jump over everybody, kick them in the head, punch them, spit on them, dunk the ball. And then they get ready to throw it in, go snatch it from them and dunk it again. Can you imagine that? Why in the world should God run his kingdom that way? Anybody following me tonight? Say amen. I'm almost done. I can tell by the fire in some of your eyes. Listen now. The beliefs. I'm mixing this message with the anesthesia of humor so that you don't realize until you got home that you had some things have been surgically removed. Beliefs, boundaries, and then lastly, benefits. What's the benefit of having standards? Number one, exalting reality. Here it is. Standards position me to give God glory. They help me.
You said not watching a commercial doesn't help you give God glory.
No, but it helps me be a better husband, and that gives God glory.
Changing what I wear doesn't have anything to do with my spiritual condition.
Yes, it does. And setting standards for what you wear ensure you that you won't wear something that does have to do with something to do with your spiritual condition. You follow me? I'm talking about where you go, what you listen to. Do you have any standards about what you download? Is the movie theater wrong? No. There's nothing inherently wrong about movie theater. There's a whole lot of junk in there that I can't control. So what do you do, Pastor? I just don't go.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
No, but we ought to both agree with the fact that not going won't kill us. I'm telling you, I've never been to one. I'm still alive. I'm not telling you every Christian that goes is a bad Christian. I'm just simply saying it's a standard that I've set in my life so that I'm not sitting there one day looking at something that I can't control. And by the way, people say, well, some people go and buy the same movie. That's just as wrong. Some people say, well, you say you don't go to the movie theater because it looks like you're in there watching the wrong thing. And you don't want people to see you coming out thinking what you were watching. I agree. But you go to Blockbuster or Hollywood and people think the same thing. I don't go to Blockbuster or Hollywood. That, for the same reason. It's a standard. Because I don't want people to wonder why I'm in a movie store. Well, that's a silly standard. We're going to figure out one that's sensible. But don't knock mine if you don't have any. I'm trying to live for God. I'm not trying to be weird. I'm trying to live for God. I want to serve Him. I want to be righteous. I want to glorify. Listen, exalted reality. Ensured with an E. Ensured righteousness. I want to program my life to do right. I want to have a long marriage. How long? Till I die. Rules, standards. Yeah. Standards about women texting me. Standards about women phone calls. Standards about... Some of you think that I don't have Facebook because I'm just FICO. I don't have Facebook because for me, it's another area of negative influence that I don't want to fool with. Is everybody on Facebook wrong? No, some of my dearest friends in all of the world, some of the greatest men of God who I have the utmost respect for on Facebook. But for me, it's a standard I invited in my life to keep. And by the way, some of the people who didn't invite that standard got in all kinds of trouble. And some of you live in trouble on Facebook every week. How do you know? Because your friends on Facebook tell me. You say silly things. You have no conscience. Your fingers type what your mouth would never utter. And it goes into cyberspace. And everybody who's nobody knows all your business. And then you come to church and you testify. And your testimony in church is utterly contradictory with your Facebook page. Are you listening? These fellas in here, some fellas in here that have been exposed to stuff over Facebook and Twitter and all these things that have scarred their mind. They won't set a standard. Some of you men need to get rid of your computer. You need to set the internet with a password that your wife only knows. And you cannot get on unless her eyes are watching.
That's a big deal.
Your marriage, bucko. That's the big deal. Parents, if your kids aren't spiritual, set standards for them. At what age does a kid get the right to have total privacy in the house? No age. Behind you, Brother Barry. Move your head a little bit. Yeah. Amen. No, not your head, Pete. You keep yours straight. He was 21. I was going through his phone.
Well, I think I can be here in my
own. Get your own house. The door had a lock on it, but not one for him to use. Why? Because I want to be able to walk in there at any time. Get all in your business. Amen.
That means you know everything he's doing?
No, but I'm going to try to. Got him a good wife. Got a good ministry. Got him out of mess and got him in the ministry. Amen. They help you. They help you. Not you. Up real big. Edifying results. I want to build people up. And if I'm ever doing things that are questionable, Romans 14, I could cause someone to stumble. I'd hate for my preferential decisions to cause a young Christian to question my integrity. Giving none offense that the ministry be not blamed. I'm almost done. And my eternal rewards. We're going to stand for the judgment seat. Wood, hair, stubble. Listen. Do you realize that you will not get credit at the judgment seat of Christ just for doing things that are right? Let me prove it to you. The people who lived in the most righteous manner on the face of the earth are the Pharisees, and they went to hell. They tithe. Listen, Pharisees read more Bible in a month than some of you read in a year. Memorized. They were required. The Jewish child was required to memorize the law at a very young age. But he didn't get credit for it. Not because what they were doing was bad, but because the reason they were doing it wasn't right. So you better learn how to embrace right things, not with just because they're right, but embrace right things with the right attitude. There's an edifying result of standing. It lets people know. First question, what if Balaam had a standard that I do not house people in my house who speak against my God? Children of Israel would have never been exposed to Moabitish women. Watch yourself. He never went and did what they said. He never prophesied or spoke a curse against Israel. But what he did do is he exposed Israel to their idolatry and their immorality. If when the very first time those people said, can we stay in your house and tell... By the way, they told him that they wanted him to come curse Israel, and then he lodged them. What if he had standards about who stays over his house? What if David had standards about skipping wars? I'm the king. I'm allowed to. It's not about what you're allowed to do. It's about what's wise for you to do. You realize that he wouldn't have lost a child. He wouldn't have had that mess with Absalom. He wouldn't have had that mess with Amnon. Do you really think your preferences are worth losing your whole family? Come on, guys. Be careful that you're not eating something that you think is fine, that you cannot eat in faith, and allowing your preferences to supersede biblical principles. Why? Because at the end of the day, without a doubt, we do need standards. Father, thank you.